Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to The Art of Kindness, where we have compassionate conversations with artists from all areas of the entertainment industry who are using their voice to spread joy and make this big spinning planet in the sky a better place to be. I'm Robert Peter Paul, and I'm so glad you're here. Because we need a little Christmas right this very minute. It's here! It's here! Merry Christmas week, my friends! First of all, I hope everybody is staying safe and well. I know it's a really busy travel week for people. And guess what? To make it a little bit brighter, we're going to be releasing some bonus episodes for y'all to enjoy as you're driving home for the holidays. While we have some really incredible guests coming your way, right now I'm here with quite the festive episode for you, as today's guest is Broadway performer and former Radio City Rockette, Afra Hines. On Broadway, Afra was most recently seen in the musical Hadestown, where she understudied the role of Persephone. Afra is a veteran performer with 8 Broadway credits to her name. Some of her favorites include Summer, the Donna Summer musical, Motown, and the original Broadway companies of In the Heights with Lin-Manuel Miranda, Shuffle Along with Audra McDonald, Brian Stokes Mitchell, Billy Porter and Joshua Henry, and Ghost the musical. She also spent a year on the first national tour of Hamilton. Additionally, Afra was a Radio City Rockette for 7 years, which we totally get into because this is a Christmas-themed episode. On screen, you can see Afra in the FX miniseries Fosse Verdon. Not gonna lie, just went down a rabbit hole to see how to correctly pronounce Verdon. Is it Verdon? I don't know. I promise, I am a theater person though. Oh. She can also be seen in Amazon's Mozart in the Jungle. And most recently, Afra was lighting up the screen in NBC's Annie Live. Before we play our interview together, I want to let you know that the tables were turned recently, and I sat in the guest chair for a wonderful interview with the publication Film Forums. If you head to film-forums.com, you could see our conversation, which centers on the Art of Kindness podcast, acting advice, and much more. Thank you to Rich and everyone at Film Forums for having me. Now, without further ado, please welcome the amazing Afra Hines.
Hi!
Hi, Robert.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You look so nice and cozy. I like your white sweater.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's one of my faves.
It's so nice. Thank you for taking the time today. It means a lot.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I was just like looking you up and I was like, wait, I know this person. I've seen your really funny Instagram posts and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're so weird. Yeah, I just have fun. I feel like, I don't know about you, but with the shutdown, I just started to do TikToks and try and stay creative in these random ways, and yeah. I can't stop. I think I'm addicted. Yeah. I don't know.
They're great. They really capture us all.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, I am pumped to talk to you today, like I said, and I really appreciate it because you have a show tonight, right?
No, I'm not in a show right now.
Oh, you're not in Hadestown?
No, I left Hadestown in late October. So I took a leave of absence and I was gonna go back, and then I decided it was a good time to step away. So here I am.
That makes sense, because you're a new mom now too, right?
Yeah. I had my daughter in June of 2020, like right smack dab in the middle of the pandemic.
Wow.
And it was like curfews and it was, yeah. It was a crazy
You're like, welcome to the world. Good thing you won't remember any of this.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on your daughter and also on Annie Live, which was such an amazing feat. I'm such a huge fan of the live musicals, and I'm never, you know, it never ceases to amaze me how these things come together. How do you feel now that that's kind of behind you? It's been a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, I think it has been just a couple of weeks, but it was a whirlwind, super exciting, super fun, different than anything I've done before. But I've watched a lot of the lives. So it was really fun to like finally get to do one. And the team was incredible. The cast was also, I remember like being in one of the early rehearsals being like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that I'm in this group of people. Like everybody, there was no weak link. Every single person was incredible. So that was really inspiring. And it's just totally different musicals for TV. It's kind of a weird thing, but it was really fun.
Yeah, because I feel like to be on Broadway and in a big musical is its own, you know, special skill set, but then to mesh it with sort of a movie musical that also has the live element must be crazy, because you're not playing in the back of the house, but it's still a big musical and there's cameras kind of in your face, so you got to like keep it very grounded, but then you're doing these big dance moves.
It kind of felt like tech rehearsal, because we rehearsed for a long time and we like got it, you know, all polished up. And then the cameras arrived and it was like, okay, this angle, actually that pirouette doesn't look so great. So we're going to just switch it. So it felt like an attack where you change something in the afternoon and then you're performing it that night. It felt kind of like that. And also there were so many cameras. That was the other crazy thing. There was like 8 huge cameras. And so anytime you have to cross around, you're like running behind or underneath. It was wild, but really fun. And I'm so like the whole team, I can't speak how to.
That's like double choreo, because you have your regular choreo and then you got to choreograph it around the cameras, which must be insane. Like you're saying, I can't even imagine.
Well, and they only have like 2 days to get their blocking in. So we've been rehearsing for weeks without them. And so we get sort of used to our travel, but then all of a sudden there's this giant rig in front of you and you have to figure out how to get to the other side in like a few seconds. You're like, wait a minute, you weren't there yesterday.
Excuse me. So do you guys, you know, have everything planned and then they come in and sort of put the camera movements around that? I mean, I'm sure the director is thinking, oh, a pose right here would be great. But is that just kind of how it comes together?
Well, so we had the director at rehearsals, like watching and sort of, he would walk around with his cell phone and sort of like plan the shots. And that was really cool to see that process. And then once we got in the space, like on the soundstage, he was there again with his camera and he had like one other person. Because then there's stairs and things. So he has someone like sort of like walking with him. And then the next time we see them, they're all like these giant robots, like huge cameras. And like one of those, what do they call them? camera that extends.
Oh, like a crane.
Yeah, it's like a crane. All these huge pieces that before we just were like one had a body sort of walking around. But you can't imagine like the, you know, the mass of them that's coming. It's crazy, but it's really.
And in your head, you're thinking, I got to ignore them. The cameras aren't actually here.
Don't look. Yeah.
Wow, that's so cool. Well, I went back and I watched clips of you shining bright throughout the show. But in You're Never Fully Dressed Without a Smile, I feel like was a standout. And then your tap number in the NYC portion was a true standout. That was incredible. You were so graceful and it seemed like... You and the ensemble just really had such a wonderful chemistry, I felt like, as you're moving through all these different characters and scenes. Yeah. So congratulations again.
Thank you so much.
When you get compliments like that, I'm really interested in compliments and the arts for some reason. So I always like to start out asking, how are you at taking compliments and receiving them?
That's such a good question. I feel like it depends, honestly, on how I feel about what they're complimenting. Like whether or not I believe them, like do I think I did a good job and therefore can I receive what they're saying? Or if I feel like, oh, I was not great, it's hard to accept compliments. I wish I was a little bit better at it, honestly.
Well, I think that's healthy because it seems like you're judging yourself in a healthy way. I mean, we all judge ourselves, which can make it hard to receive that love. But at the end of the day, when you are an actor or a performer, you want to go out and have people say that was amazing, and you sort of duck by, you know, the stage door or whatever and meet these people. So it is really weird when we get compliments that then we kind of shy away from it. It's just, I find it so strange. Yeah. And then, you know, you're like, oh, I love that sweater. And it's easy because you didn't make the sweater. So you're thinking, yes, I know, it's really cozy.
Yeah.
But it is really strange. Well, obviously we're here today to talk about kindness, specifically within the arts. So just to start out on our journey together, I would love to know, what does kindness mean to you?
I think kindness is just allowing space for people to be their authentic selves, or encouraging, not encouraging, being with someone as they are finding themselves, or mirroring back to them how they want to see themselves. Yeah. Or being curious about someone. That's also kindness, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's beautiful. And being curious, I feel like being curious is pretty underrated, but it's kind of the point of life. I mean, if you're not interested and you don't want to keep learning, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're just sitting on the couch, which is also great, honestly. So I don't know what I'm talking about. But I think that's a beautiful definition. So looking back at your career, it was really interesting. And I know you've talked about this quite a bit. Growing up, I know you started dancing and then doing gymnastics at a young age, but you weren't really bitten by the theater bug until I think you saw Wicked, right?
That's right. Yeah. So I'm originally from Florida, Miami, Florida. And so I didn't see a lot of theater. I would watch a lot of PBS, so I saw like operas and things like that, but and my mom was good about taking me to see sort of like concert theater, but I didn't see like musicals until I was in high school in New York City and saw Wicked, and I was just like, what is that? It's amazing.
Was that the OG cast, Kristen and Adina, or you might not remember?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think it might have been like they had been running for maybe like 2 years at that point.
Mm. Yeah. Not that it even matters, because everyone, you know, that steps into that show is incredible. But yeah. I just think there's something, and you've had the opportunity to do that, right? Be a part of an original Broadway production.
Yeah.
There's something to that that's just so special.
I agree. Yeah.
So as you're realizing, okay, this is maybe something I would want to do, do you remember any acts of kindness that stand out along the way with people helping you as you're beginning your journey with dancing and performing?
Well, yeah. I mean, I had a bunch of really amazing teachers who could see how much I loved it and were encouraging in that way. It's hard. I started dancing when I was, you know, like three. So it's hard to remember.
Wow.
The very, well, if you call it dance, it was like, I think they called it creative movement.
But that's special that your parents let you do that, because I feel like sometimes when we're starting out moving our bodies in weird ways, mm-hmm. people can be like, hey, calm down, sit down.
Yeah, no, my parents were super supportive, for sure. I definitely would not be here without them encouraging me, so.
And now you're in such a special position, because now that you're a mom, are you, you know, looking back and seeing your parents through new eyes? And I'm sure there's different things about kindness coming up, which I think kindness is love, not to keep saying the buzzword. I feel like everyone's taking a shot every time I say kindness.
Yeah, definitely. It's parenthood is a crazy ride. And it's sort of like, it's like trying to imagine what it's like on Mars. Like you've seen photos, but you can't know. And that's how I feel about being a mom. It's like a whole nother planet that I did not know. It's wonderful. But yeah, it definitely is making me look at my childhood and my parents in, you know, a new way. And just I was thinking this the other day, I was carrying my daughter somewhere and my foot was hurting so much. And so I was sort of like limping along carrying her. And I was like, she doesn't know. She has no idea the sort of things that I'm doing because I love her so much. And then I was like, oh yeah, and your mom, my mom did things like this for me, like in ways that we'll never even know. We have no idea, but I don't know. It just hit me specifically. I was limping.
Wow. Were you limping just because of all the dancing and the movement in your body from Annie Live, I guess, was your last thing?
Yeah, I've been having some like joint pain. So I'm not really sure what it is, if it's just overuse or if it's like something coming for me. I don't know.
Show me your foot. Let's figure it out. No, yeah. I have no idea.
But it was just a particularly rough day. So, but it's, I'm doing better today.
How do you like take care of yourself? I guess when you're in a show too, as a dancer, I think I'm in awe of dancers. I mean, I would call myself a mover, maybe a strong mover. I don't know. But people that can dance and use their whole body when they're performing, I think it's such an amazing skill set. So in those quiet moments when you're in your dressing room or you're resting between you pick up another Broadway show, are there certain things you do to take care of your body?
Yeah, well, so right now I'm in a break. I have from now until I think I start work again in early February. So I'm really excited and I've been going to class almost every day. Like it feels so nice to have the time and space to like go back to doing just the things that I love, you know, like I wanted to be a performer. But I like when I got back into the studio recently, I was like, oh yeah, this is why I need this space. It's a place where I feel the most comfortable. It's crazy. And I don't feel that anywhere else in my life. So I think that's really important. It's part of like a self-care thing is like finding that thing that feels like breathing to you or feels like therapy or, you know, whatever it is, finding that. And it's not just good for your body, but good for your like heart and soul and everything.
Yeah, that's so well said.
Thanks.
I think it's hard sometimes too, because you follow your passion and your dream and people are saying you got to put everything into it. Unlike other careers, to be an artist, it has to be your whole life and you have to put yourself into it. And then all these little business things get into your head and can get in the way and make you maybe self-conscious and overthink things. So it's hard to stay back. And I think that's really cool that you get to take these breaks and go back to your center of why you really love doing it. Do you think now that you have a daughter and you're a mom and that's like a whole new dream, it takes a little bit of pressure off of the performance end? Although you're killing it. So, I mean, I don't.
Yes and no. Like, yes, when I'm home, I definitely feel a separation of work and home that I never used to. It used to be like work all the time, always in my brain, always like just like the main thing in my life. And I still feel the same like drive and desire to be good at what I'm doing. But when I'm home, it's like I'm able to like put it down in a way that I wasn't able to before. And so that's really nice. And also, you just don't have as much time to like ruminate on things. You have like a million other things to think about. So that's been good.
Yeah. Cause you mentioned motherhood is almost like trying to imagine living on Mars. And I feel like in a lot of ways, maybe people starting out being on Broadway could be a little bit of a similar journey. I think you're eased into it once you've been auditioning for a while and working regionally. And then maybe, you know, you work your way, but now that you've done 8 Broadway shows, correct? Is it 8?
Yeah, I think, yeah, 8.
Okay. I did count. It's fine. But, you know, I'm in the theater, so I don't know if I can really count. So you've not a dancer. So you've been in the ensemble. You've been a swing. You've covered roles. Have you found one job to be particularly more challenging than the other, or does it depend on the project?
I guess there's different they can be challenging in different ways. So, like, some can be really challenging physically, just like the amount of energy needed to get through them. And then some can be challenging more emotionally, or I've had, you know, different workspaces behind, like backstage can be challenging depending on a lot of things. So yeah, it'd be hard to say if there was like one.
Yeah. I'm laughing because that's like an eloquent way to put it. Depending on a lot of things backstage.
Or not eloquent way to put it. Yeah.
No, I think you put it nicely. You didn't go too far there. But it is, I always find, you know, we're living our dream. And if you get to work, it's such a privilege that to have people that maybe make these experiences a little bit more difficult than they have to be is such a sad thing, which is why I want to have these conversations. Mm-hmm. I guess as a swing specifically, I've been a swing and it was one of the hardest things I've ever done.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Having all those tracks in your head and then really the first time you get to do it is if you get to go on. Mm-hmm. With those instances, because I feel like the cast has to really lift you up because they've done the show.
Yeah.
Do you have any stories you can share about that? Because I think that's a big kindness thing.
Yes. I'm thinking about when I was doing Summer, the Donna Summer musical, and I had to go on as Disco Donna. And I think I don't know if we were still in previews or we just opened, but like it was early Ariana rolled her ankle, and so I had to go on very underprepared, and I was just so nervous. Like, I think I was probably like physically shaking. Yeah. And they called like an emergency put in because I'd never had rehearsal with the cast. So we had to do it. And I think it was like on a Wednesday morning. So people were pissed. So the energy was very just like not good.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of people who I really felt the kindness and support. And like, I could feel them like, yeah, no one wanted to be there that morning for this emergency put in, but I could feel them like being there for me. And it was so nice. And it doesn't take a lot, you know, it made me think about how I'm lifting other people up in situations like that. And a lot of times we can think good things about the person, or like wishing them well, or even being supportive in like our energy. But like, it takes so little to like step one step further and reach out a little bit more to make them feel loved and supported and capable. And, you know, it's such a scary thing. Swinging and understudying. It's like,
yeah.
Whew.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's nuts. I was a swing at a really great regional theater that's close to the city. I won't say the name. I don't know why, because it was fine. But it was Spelling Bee, and there was only a male and a female swing, and we each had to know every single track, and we got one rehearsal, and it was like a weird multiple personality show where we just went through the show, you know, running around. And yeah. I just remember the artistic director and people walking back and forth and kind of watching us. And I was so nervous and scared. But yeah. Afterwards, the cast said, you know, we're here for you if you need any videos or you need to talk to me. Mm-hmm. And it really does just change everything. So I think it's awesome that you brought up the fact, too, that it's not big things. It doesn't take much. You just need to do really little things for people. And that's kindness.
Yeah. I had in that cast, I had one friend brought me tea, which doesn't sound like a big thing, but it was so nice. She like came to my dressing room with tea and like gave me some encouragement. That was just so nice. And I had another friend who like, while this like tornado of chaos was going, she's like, wait, let me take a photo in your costume. Like she thought like, let me get this for you. And it was just so sweet.
Yeah, really that cool. is so sweet. And tea really helps, especially if it's the tea with the little inspiring message on the paper. Oh, yeah, I needed that.
Yeah.
Okay, so since it's Christmas time, I know it's been a while, but I would love to just pick your brain about being a Rockette, because it's iconic and tis the season.
Okay.
So where does being a Rockette, I guess, first of all, fall within your Broadway career? Was that toward the beginning?
It was toward the beginning. So I was actually a Rockette for 7 years, or 7 seasons, which in was 7 years at that time. My first year was 2004. So I was a Rockette, and then I got my Broadway show, and then I sort of like went back and forth between Broadway shows and Radio City Rockette on the Christmas seasons. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. For example, I was doing In the Heights on Broadway, and they let me take a leave of absence to go do the Christmas Spectacular, which was so lovely of them to do, but I overlapped rehearsals for the Christmas show with In the Heights at night.
Wow.
And that was so hard, and also hard because I didn't have a day off, because the day off at the theater was Monday and the day off at rehearsal was Sunday. So it was just like,
were you sleeping? I feel like I'd be so filled with adrenaline.
You know what was crazy was the physical part, I was young and I loved both things enough that the physical part was exhausting, but it wasn't terrible. I would get to the theater and ice my feet while I was like doing my makeup. but the harder thing was emotionally and just being like mentally tired.
And did you want to do that because you loved being a Rockette? Because you're already in the Heights.
I loved being a Rockette. It was being a Rockette is like my first long time, like real, you know, 3 month long gig. And I felt like it taught me so much about being a professional and how to like get through a season like that, because they do so many shows a week. It's crazy. So just like learning stamina and being in a group of women was really inspiring, and like the preciseness and hitting your marks and knowing your blocking. And like, it was a great, great first job for me. So that's why I continue to go back year after year.
Yeah.
And even now, every Christmas season, I'm like, oh, like, kind of miss it. Like, should I maybe see if I can go back? I don't know, you know?
Yeah. You could just whip it out at the family Christmas party, start doing some kicks in the corner. I feel like there is such a prestige to being a Rock Cat. And whenever I've seen interviews with them, or just, you know, even the way you guys stand and have performed at the Thanksgiving Day Parade or whatever it is, mm-hmm. it's almost like not politicians. I don't know how to describe it. There's such a grace in the way it's almost like you're a representation of Christmas.
Yeah. And like, New York, it feels like. It's like classic New York City.
Do they talk to you guys about that and how you're supposed to present yourselves?
I mean, I don't know. It's been years since I've worked there. But when I was there, we would have a media training day where we would do like mock interviews. And, you know, they have talking points. And, you know, like any show has talking points that they want to get across to the potential audience members. So that was really cool, too, to get that training for free, because it's something you would not get anywhere else, I don't think.
No, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's anything surprising about being a Rockette that people wouldn't necessarily think, you know, when they're watching the show? I guess a better way to phrase that would be, what's the most surprising thing about being a Radio City Rockette?
I think people are often surprised that we do so many shows in a week. Or the other thing, people always ask me, like, do we wear different size heels to make everyone look the same height? And no, everyone's wearing the same size heel. No, there's 80 Rockettes. That's sometimes surprising to people because there's no day off. There's two casts. There's 36 in the line plus four swings times two.
It's such a special show. You know, when I worked at 30 Rock, it's right there. And I used to go out and if I was lucky and I timed it right, I would see them loading in the live animals.
Oh, yeah.
What is that like working with them?
They're a little bit smelly.
Okay. Wow. All right.
But no, I loved it. And they would, the camels would be like right in, there's a little, I don't know what it used to be, maybe like a quick change closet or something. Not closet, it's a room, obviously, because they're camels. But it's quite close to the stage. So we would like see them as we were going in and out. And that was always fun for me. And I always wish, so there's the nativity scene at the end, and some people get to hold animals. I always wish that I would be one of them, but I never got to hold an animal.
Never in the 7 years?
Nope.
But I'm thinking maybe you do have to go back then, just for that.
Yeah.
Just one night, you know, give me a goat.
Yes, please.
That's so cool and such a unique thing. But, you know, with the Rockettes and with all the ensemble work you've done, I feel like it really requires people to be in sync and on the same page, otherwise things could go terribly wrong. So throughout your career, have you noticed anything that makes a really great ensemble compared to, I guess, the shows where that vibe isn't there?
Yeah, I think it takes someone who's got an eye for detail. And, you know, I think, yes, some of that is like a person's, what's the word I'm looking for? Just their personality. Their, like, essence, but a lot of things, it's just has to do with someone showing you how to do it. Like, I remember when I joined Wicked, they hired me first as a universal swing, and it was my Broadway debut, and I was 19, and I had no idea.
Wait, that's so cool. I didn't realize that was your Broadway debut, and that was the show that made you want to do theater.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
It is. It's a fun story. But so I joined that cast as a universal swing, and I didn't, like, someone had told me what that meant, but I didn't know. It's, again, like another planet, right? So I got there and I had no idea what I was doing. And it took a friend of mine, Lorianne, she like took me under her wing and she was like, okay, so you have to write the tracks down. How are you going to remember them if you don't write them down? So she like showed me how to make diagrams and write down the different tracks. And so that was incredibly kind of her to do. But yeah, so things like that probably a lot of people can do, but it just takes someone sort of showing them. And I think a lot of times when you get into a Broadway show or Broadway company, there's not a ton of that going on where someone is like, oh, you're new, let me show you how. People sort of just assume that you're ready and that you know what's going on, when a lot of times, if it's your first thing, you have no way of knowing.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, a lot of people don't want to have these conversations. Everybody likes to pretend that they know what's going on. But then as soon as it's been maybe a couple of weeks and you have these whispers in the corner, you realize we're on the same page. Everyone's like, yeah. Oh, no, I felt that way, too.
Yep. You know who's really good at that is Brian Stokes Mitchell. He's really great at like welcoming new Broadway debuts. We did Shuffle Along together, and I think he bought like white orchids for all the debuts. It was so lovely. It was just really sweet.
That's really sweet.
Mm-hmm. Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Speaking of these luminaries that you've gotten to work with, you know, with Annie Live, we'll take Annie Live that we touched on before. You were with Taraji P. Henson, Harry Connick Jr., Nicole Scherzinger, Megan Hilty. I mean, Titus Burgess, the list goes on. Yeah. So when you're working with these heavy hitters, I know you don't get starstruck. And I actually identify with that. I don't really either, depending on the person. I'm just awkward no matter what. So it doesn't really matter, honestly. But did you learn anything working with these stars on this project that you think you'll carry with you?
Yes. I mean, every single one of them is incredible. I was really blown away by Nicole's work ethic. I feel like I'm a hard worker, but to see someone who you think of as like a star who sort of like maybe doesn't have to work so hard, she was like drilling things over and over and over. And I just, that was really cool to see that it doesn't matter where you are in your career. If you want to be the best you can be, you have to be really working at it. So I was really inspired by that. Harry Connick Jr. is so charming, like just so nice. Like would anytime he came into a room would like come say hello to every single person. And that is just, again, like you don't expect a star to come over and like say hello, or he would be walking past you and he'd just like put his fist out to give you a fist bump. Like just makes you feel like you're like friends and that you're like in with the, you know, it's just, it was really sweet. And the way Titus is so funny and so brilliant, and Megan too, they're just like incredible. But seeing the way that Titus would like talk with the tech people or the directors and sort of like just his way of communicating and getting information and sharing what he needs, but in a just totally respectful way, that was really cool. Everybody, it was just so brilliant. It was really a treat to see them all.
Yeah. That's such a unique skill to be able to learn to vocalize what you need, or I guess to identify it. And then as an actor, you know, to actually speak up and say that. I mean, I've done shows where you think, oh, the number one on the call sheet or the lead can maybe have these conversations, but it's not true because we're all working together, and to be able to put it out there is hard. It's hard to ask for what you need.
Yeah. And also him doing it makes space for everyone to feel like they can, you know, like it's just showing. But also I've seen it the other way where someone will, an actor, a star maybe will have a request, but it's sort of like comes from this like tight, like nervous or angry or, you know, that sort of energy. And seeing the way Titus was just like, it was beautiful. And that's what I hope for myself.
I mean, we're all just people. We should be able to approach each other as, you know, people to people. Did you guys already start rehearsals with Jane and then Megan came in? Because I remember reading about that.
Right. We had, so we hadn't had any, the cast, like the ensemble hadn't rehearsed with her. I think she came in, they did a table read early on, but then she was filming something else for the first couple weeks. So she wasn't even in the building with us. So I just saw her that one day that they did the table read. So I think they were like, for the first couple weeks, the ensemble and the principal cast were rehearsing pretty separately. They were working on their scenes and stuff. But yeah, it did seem it felt last minute to us too. And Megan was so fantastic. Like the way she was able to just jump in like that. And she's a sweetheart as well. Super kind and friendly and funny. And
oh, that's awesome. Are the rehearsals similar to a Broadway show? You get everything in your body and then you work with the cameras, or was there something that surprised you?
The thing that surprised me most was just the space, like the way there's no front, but it wasn't like being in the round. It was like, now you're facing this way and now you're that was new to me, but fun, but also like a little bit confusing.
Yeah, I was thinking of you guys, like the cameras running up the stairs in the mansion, and then I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it's all flipped and you can kind of see the audience. Like, that must be trippy.
Yeah. And like sometimes doing scenes with our backs to the audience the whole time because the camera is now facing a different direction was strange. But yeah, it was a cool experience.
Yeah. And you have that crowd and the energy from the crowd, which I always have missed when I've done TV film stuff. You don't really get that unless the crew, you know, maybe claps after or laughs for some reason. So I think that it's an awesome, awesome blend. Now it's time for a surprise game, if you're down to play.
Oh, no, I'm scared.
Don't be scared. Don't be scared.
Okay, yes. Okay.
It's called the compliment game. Okay. So basically, I reached out to someone in your life to get a quote about what they love about you. I'm going to read you the quote, and then you just have to guess who it is.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And I actually got two for you.
Oh, my goodness.
How one fun. Literally just came in an hour ago. So we'll say, because people get a little nervous when there's no rule. So we'll just say you get three guesses and then you can ask me only yes or no questions. And honestly, I don't know that much. So I don't know how much help I'll be. But I think these are pretty specific. So I think you'll get them.
Oh, no. Okay.
All right. No, you got this. Everyone's beautiful in their own way. It's the compliment game on the AOK. It's the compliment game. Bump. Okay. So your first quote is, I have known Afra for over a decade and have always admired her for her endless talent. She's a true triple threat that can't be stopped. I guess that could be a lot of people.
That is so nice. Okay. Is it someone who I've worked with?
Yes.
Okay. Oh my goodness. I have no idea. Is it a male or a female?
Oh, okay. This is a male identifying person.
Okay. Is it a choreographer?
Yeah.
Am I asking too many questions?
You're not at all. This is great. I believe it is.
Okay. Is it Dominique Kelly?
No.
No. I'm trying to, like, I'm like, who have I known over a decade?
I can also give you a hint too, if you feel
stumped. Give me a hint.
I think I know the show you worked on together, but that might give it away. But I can say that if we're really stumped, and I also might be wrong. I have some random notes written down here, but you know, my brain is a tornado of mush.
I don't know. I'm going to give up. You have to tell me.
Okay. I think it's the Donna Summer musical.
Sergio?
Yes. Sergio.
No. Oh, that's so nice. Oh my goodness.
Yes,
oh my
Sergio Trujillo. Thank you, Sergio.
That is so nice.
Yeah, he emailed me back right away, which was really sweet.
He's incredible. Yeah, I guess we have known each other for a long time. Wow, that's so sweet.
how is working with him? What has he taught you?
What I love about him is he he wants you to be your best, and that's maybe not uncommon in a choreographer, but it's like this. It's a great mix of trusting the person, and like once he knows that you're a professional and can do the work, he trusts you in a way that I find really special. But it's a mix of trust and also like he'll work you hard. Like if he, and also the way that's making me think of the way he worked with Nicole, watching them work together, it was like tough love where he wasn't cutting her down at all, but he was being very like this hand, this finger, and she was like taking it and getting better every single time. He's great, and his energy, and he's funny, and he's really great.
It's awesome.
That's so sweet. What a fun treat.
Oh, I'm glad. And that's an interesting point too, because tough love is love. I mean, love's in the, not that he was necessarily giving you tough love, but sometimes when things aren't sugar-coated, people, it just depends what you're used to, I guess, but people can get really scared.
But like, if he knows that you want to be your best, he's just helping you be that best, you know? It's not like a personal thing. And I find even more so if he can tell that you also are invested in it and you also want to get better, then it's like this cyclical thing where, you know, it's not like trying to drag someone along, like you need to get better. It's more like we're doing this together. Like I'm the extra pair of eyes that you don't have and I can help. I know you want to be good, so let me help you be good. And in the other way, it's like his choreography is brilliant, but you being good helps his choreography. So it's like this really nice teamwork. He's great.
Yeah, everyone's needed.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a pet peeve of mine. You know, I understand it, but when people get notes and then they have this big monologue back about why they did it a certain way or whatever it is, it's like, just please learn to take the note. And it comes from a place of love and wanting everybody to be their best, like you're saying. Yeah. All right, so you have another one. So I'm going to read you your second quote. It's a little bit longer.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Okay. She's blushing. Yes, she can sing, dance, act, and sketch. Is an amazing mom, wife, daughter, friend, and castmate. But my favorite thing about Afra is hanging out with her. It's like being at a slumber party. She makes me laugh, and that's one of the best qualities in a human. She also cries when she sees really cute puppies, and that's pretty amazing. She's a loyal friend, and I can't believe I get to call her my friend.
Oh,
I almost read the name. That would have given it away.
Okay. That is sweet. Now you've got me thinking of like Summer, and I'm thinking Jenny LaRoche. Is Jenny?
Ooh, no. I didn't reach out to Jenny.
The sketch. That's what's getting me. I'm like, who?
Yeah, I feel like there's some hints in here.
Yeah, will you read it again?
Sure. Yes, she can sing, dance, act, and sketch. Is an amazing mom, wife, daughter, friend, and castmate. But my favorite thing about Afra is hanging out with her. It's like being at a slumber party. She makes me laugh, and that's one of the best qualities in a human. She also cries when she sees really cute puppies, and that's pretty amazing. She's a loyal friend, and I can't believe I get to call her my friend.
Oh, is it Kimberly?
Oh, Kimberly Garris?
No.
Oh, no, because I know that's who we have in
common.
Nope, it's not. It's not any Kimberly, so I don't know why I even asked. I'm like, oh, Kimberly who?
Setting me up the wrong tree.
I know.
Oh, man.
I know, I'd have to look. Okay, I can tell you that this was for me creeping. So I found this person because I went on your Instagram and you had, let me see if I can pull it up. I think you had a picture together. Oh, yeah, I found the picture. Okay.
Is it Vasti?
Yes.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's so sweet.
Vasti Mom Point.
That's
a cool name.
Yes. Oh, Vasti. Yeah, she's awesome. I love her.
Did you do a show with her?
We did Ghost together. And I feel like, oh, and Soul Doctor. Yeah, we've done two shows together.
Wow.
Yeah, I love her. She's doing great things.
Yeah, now I'm going to follow her because she seems amazing.
She's also really funny.
Well, she said you're funny too. So look at that. I think it's crazy because we form such tight bonds with people and then maybe you don't see them for a couple years because you're both doing other shows.
Yeah. Well, she's out on I think she's still on the West Coast. She like moved to, she did like a network showcase.
Oh, maybe like an ABC.
Yeah. She was just here in the city too. Anyway.
Oh, that's awesome.
She's great.
Yeah, maybe I'll get her on here. She sounds awesome.
Yeah, you should. And Sergio.
Oh, yeah. And then maybe I'll tap you for a compliment.
Yeah.
I like to play it when I can. Sometimes I can't get in touch with people, but you know, a creepy DM usually does the job. So just to wrap things up, because you've already been so generous with your time, I would love if you could leave us with a tangible kindness or wellness tip that you think listeners can take and incorporate into their day.
I would say, I hope this is not too cheesy, but like a moment in the morning, like a 5-minute, 10-minute meditation, and like just be kind to yourself, like give yourself the space that the kindness that you would give to someone else, give it to yourself in the morning, and then you are more able to be kind to others.
I love that. Nobody said that yet. Good. So that was awesome. And it's really true. It doesn't sound cheesy. I think everybody has this compulsion to pick up their phone right away when you wake up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it sets you up for not a great headspace, I'm finding. So I'm trying not to do that.
Comparing the first second you get up. Yeah.
Yeah. Our brains aren't trained to take in that much information at once, especially when we're not awake. As my eye twitches, I'm like, oh, wow, I should shut my camera off. Not looking good. Anyway. Oh, thank you. Well, thank you so much for your time and just for being you. And it's awesome to have you in the theater industry because you're someone I think people can look up to and really have a great role model in. So it was awesome to get to chat with you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Everybody go check out Afra and follow her at Afra Hines everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, right, perfect. Well, keep keeping on. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
Bye.
And now it's time for your kindness tip of the week.
All right, let's just take a deep breath, my friends. As I was editing Afra's episode this week, news broke that Radio City's Christmas Spectacular, with the Rockettes, of course, was canceling the rest of their performances due to the increasing challenges from the pandemic. In addition, you might have seen that a ton of Broadway shows and local theaters are shutting down once again. I know for me, this disheartening news drudges up the dread that I felt when the pandemic first started. Not that that dread ever went away, really. For lack of a better term, shit seems to be hitting the fan again, everybody. So for your kindness tip of the week, besides staying safe and making sure all your loved ones do, if you're in the position to, please consider supporting the arts. From Broadway to local theaters and art centers, these institutions are really struggling to stay afloat. Many times, their only saving grace is support from patrons of the arts. So how about you take a moment to go into your Google search engine and type in local theaters in whatever town you live in, go to their website, and find out how you can donate to them or help. Giving is kindness, and giving to the arts is truly so vital right now. I hope you and your loved ones are staying as safe and cozy as can be. May we all be merry, bright, and find a way to have a wonderful holiday week. As I mentioned in the intro, I will be back with some really fun bonus episodes for you all to enjoy this week. Definitely go check out what's going on our social media pages at Art of Kindness Pod and at Rob Peter Paul. Hey! And please leave us a 5-star rating if you can. I'll talk to you guys very soon. Until next time, remember, everything's gonna be a-okay.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.